all the very special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, all the special seasoning.
The man who created the McDonald's Big Mac has died. Michael Jim Delegati was a Pittsburgh area McDonald's franchisee when he invented the chain's signature burger.
Good to see you. I had a wonderful evening with President-elect Trump. We have another discussion about affairs throughout the world, and these discussions I've had with him have been enlightening and interesting and engaging. I've enjoyed them very, very much.
A lot of the veterans have been here and gone and plan to come back. We want to support the Standing Rock and the tribes as much as possible.
The first of its kind in 8 years, OPEC finally agreed to cut output. Taking the biggest hit, OPEC's largest pumper, Saudi Arabia.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday. It is December 1st, 2016, 5:09, almost 5:10 now in the morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another business month. The last month of the year for 2016. It's hard to believe the year's gone by so quickly, but it has. Are you craving a Big Mac today in honor, in memory of the founder of Big Mac? The Oak Brook-based McDonald's mourning the loss of the founder of the Big Mac, as you heard on our opening montage. A lot of other news, too, that we're going to try to get to this morning, including our Associated Bank thought leader conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about mortgage rates and interest rates, which are going up. There's no doubt about that now. Everybody seems to be in agreement on that. A little bit later in the program, too, we'll talk about social media, its impact on your shopping and also on the election. It's all coming up. But first, let's check the WGN Associated Bank market desk numbers for this morning. Dow futures are a little weak this morning, pointing toward a lower open on Wall Street later, off about 5 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are off as well. Crude oil is trading up almost 1% this morning at $49.97 a barrel, a little lower than it was yesterday. Most of the indices in Asia are higher, and in Europe, everything seems to be lower now. All of them in the red. The FTSE appears to be leading the way. FTSE in London, at least, off about 70%. The DAX, the CAC, the FTSE main off as well. So we'll keep watching London and European stocks this morning. Lots of concern about OPEC and the agreement yesterday. There is concern that the OPEC agreement to curb production will not be enough to reduce the glut. Oil price rally sparked by that deal to cut output, likely to be short-lived, say traders in Asia. That's where we're seeing a little bit of declines over Europe today, likely to spread to the United States, even without increased supplies from elsewhere. If the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, otherwise known as OPEC and Russia, do reduce production by 1.5 million barrels a day as pledged, the cuts would not be deep enough to shrink a glut that began to build in mid-2014. Higher oil prices and lower production costs are encouraging U.S. shale operators to increase output again, while Kazakhstan started production at the Kazakhstan field in October. So that's a big story that we'll be watching throughout the day here on 720 WGN. Also, we've got news out of Indiana today. More on the carrier deal. United Technology Corporation's carrier unit says it got financial incentives from the state of Indiana, not the President-elect Donald Trump or the new administration. They did get a pledge, though, from President-elect Donald Trump to improve the climate for business in the United States in exchange for keeping 1,000 jobs in the state rather than moving them overseas. The heating and air conditioning unit of the industrial and military conglomerate, they provide engines and aircraft for the U.S. military, did not give a value for the financial incentives. We might be able to find out a little bit more about that. Trump and Pence, his vice president-elect, scheduled to be in Indiana later today. Our thought leader discussion today, we're waiting on Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. Now 100.3% is the polling as we wait for the rate hike that is almost sure to happen at the December meeting. And this morning, our thought leader conversation is going to center around that. Tom Horton is back with us today. He is a residential mortgage expert at Associated Bank. He's the vice president and senior lending manager at Associated Bank. John, welcome back. We haven't talked to you since the election. I'm interested to get your impressions first and reactions to the election of Donald Trump.
You know, it was interesting when he came in, and you know, you look at the polls and you look at the markets, and the night of the election, watching the results come in, the futures market, it was negative 800 points. And as those colors started changing on the map, that kept going down and going down. And you look in the morning, and it was unbelievable. We were just talking. Rates went up 3/8 2 days after the election. What they're looking at as far as him putting money into the infrastructure, to the military, to the roads, to hospitals, it leads towards a sign of inflation. Very positive for the market as a whole. All of a sudden, you start talking inflation. You're going to see rates go up. In general, this is something that people have talked about for 6 or 7 years. Every month you're in the business, rates are going to go up. They don't go up.
Is it any coincidence, too, that on election night we saw the red arrows on Wall Street and the futures, and he's red states?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know, a little coincidence. Yeah. Little coincidence. But you know what? It's not as bad as people think. If you break it down and you say, okay, I'm going to buy a house, and on Tuesday rates were 3 5/8, and now on Friday they're 4%. If you look at those numbers, for every $100,000, that swing is $21. So it is kind of a shock to the system to say, okay, my rates aren't in the threes anymore. I'm in the fours. But for every $100,000, your principal and interest payment only goes up $21. So for a $500,000 mortgage, you're going to be $105 a month more, which is a lot of money, but it's not as bad as it really seems.
We're seeing a lot of this, especially with retail, and I bring that up because it's this consumer confidence level that seems to be right under the surface boiling. I don't know if I should spend money. I'm kind of concerned. And a lot of that sort of is happening with the Trump effect. As somebody with a lot of experience, what's happening here? Is it just that the uncertainty level of change is what's driving this? Is there something out there that is scaring people?
I think first, the uncertainty, I think, was initial. I think the change now, as it's been in the media, the change is actually looking very positive. You're looking at the markets run up. He's a very bank-favorable candidate. You look at the millennials, those guys coming back in. They said the millennials coming back in the market are going to spend an average purchase price of $500,000, which is a jumbo loan, which is an absolutely phenomenal product. So you look at those millennials coming in, where they're going, where they're moving, the jobs they have that they feel are secure, those guys are coming back in the market.
John, hang with us. We need to check traffic this morning. We'll continue our thought leader conversation with John Horton of Associated Bank. He is the vice president and senior lending manager there. We'll talk about if you're interested in buying a house but maybe don't have the credit to do it, how you might start planning for that before interest rates really start going up. That'll continue on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk today. A couple of stocks of local interest we're paying close attention to today. Peabody Energy off almost 3% in pre-market trade this morning. CNA Financial off about 1.5% today. One of the early gainers this morning is Kemper Corporation, also USG Corporation, up almost 1.5%. It's 5:20.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks finished mostly lower yesterday as gains in banks and blue-chip energy companies couldn't make up for losses in the broader market. The S&P 500 lost nearly 6 points. The Nasdaq Composite dropped 56 to 5323. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 2 points to 19,123. Gas prices could soon be on the rise. OPEC has agreed to cut its oil output for the first time since 2008. Non-OPEC countries also expected to cut an additional 600,000 barrels a day to help bolster world oil prices. Payroll processor ADP says U.S. companies added 216,000 jobs in November, the most since June. Gains came in retail, hotels, and restaurants, also higher-paying professional services. And Netflix, 87 million subscribers, can now binge on their favorite shows and movies, even without an internet connection. The company's matching a downloading feature that rival Amazon.com has been offering for the past year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 521. Our thought leader conversation, regular Thursday feature here on The Opening Bell, continues. In with us is Associated Bank's John Horton. He is the vice president and senior lending manager at Associated Bank. We've been talking, John, this morning a little bit about interest rates. We expect that Federal Reserve rate increase to happen later this month. We've been talking about how low rates still remain for people who might be buying a mortgage. Also talked a little bit about the election. I'm interested to know, though, is there, with all of the talk of deregulation and new rules and things that the new Trump administration is talking about, is there a danger that the new administration might overshoot on this? Because we don't want to get to another 2008, do we?
Oh, it's a big concern. Actually, they said 63% of all homeowners and 8 in 10 millennial homeowners think the current prices are inflated, and they're waiting for the bubble. So now we're back where we were 6-7 years ago. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, and they're talking about a bubble already.
What kind of bubble?
Well, they're saying now the prices are inflated. They're talking about shortage of inventory on houses for 2017. It could be a seller's market. the high-end homes from $500,000 to $750,000, you don't see as much of an increase in pricing. Lower-end homes, two bedrooms, three bedrooms, you're seeing a drastic increase. So they're saying if you're a move-up buyer, you might want to hang tight. But if you're selling a home in that $5 to $750 area, you're probably going to get what you want.
So as we move into the new year, that would be your advice, the strategy?
Absolutely. And I mean, rates themselves, we never know what's going to happen. But again, you're at 4%. Your ARM rates, your 5-7 year ARM rates are still in the mid-3s. Average time someone owns a home is between 3 to 5 years. You could be there 30 years. I'm not saying people are going to move, but it is a gamble. Some people don't like a gamble. And it's still a great time to buy.
Because I'm old enough to remember when interest rates on homes were up there. I mean, way up
18,
there.
19%. Yeah. Absolutely. So 15% looked like a bargain.
Yeah,
and so, it just kept going.
So 4%'s nothing.
4% really isn't. I mean, it's not historic lows. Hasn't been above 4% since 2015, which is only a year ago.
Yeah. We talk about interest rates, and as we get ready to get the Fed's decision, which is 100.3% of everybody seems to think that Janet Yellen and the Fed will raise rates. I don't understand that. You're in banking. Maybe you can tell me what that poll number is.
That's the math that nobody understands. You know, and they are talking about the rates, how they're going to increase. They're also, and it goes into effect that they're already baked in. You really won't see if they raise the rates by a quarter. You most likely won't see the 30-year fix, which is a good barometer. I mean, obviously it goes off the bonds, but if you go off of a 30-year fix and she raises it a quarter, you're not going to see it go to 4 to 4.25. As it gets closer, you may see a little increase just so the banks aren't hit that hard, so borrowers know what they're up for. The other issue you have is you have a lot of people that were pre-approved or that were floating. So if you were floating at 3.625 and your ratios were really close, you didn't lock in, you're now at 4 and you're closing in 2 weeks, that extra couple of bucks a month could knock you out of the park. So you do see people affected by the rates that can no longer buy the house they wanted to.
Yeah, out on the street, I actually hear more people say that they're concerned that we haven't seen enough rate increases over the last year or so, and they're worried about the impact on the flip side of that, not doing as much as that they say the Fed should have been doing. I mean, is there a valid fear there or concern?
You know, it could be valid, but every time they talked about raising rates, jobless numbers were down, and it was just the opposite effect. They'd even talk about it. They wouldn't do anything. They're thinking about doing it, and their thoughts about doing it had an opposite effect on the market. So if they did it, I think they were afraid to see what was going to happen. So they could do it. It might end up short term. They might see that it affected the market negatively and have to change their mind.
So what is this notion that when we see mortgage rates go up, banks don't tend to do well, that hurts banks?
Well, it's kind of funny you said that, because the mortgage business, as far as my guys, my team, Associated Bank's team, we all love it. Who the borrowers that don't like it are the clients, because you're paying really low on deposit rates. You know, you go into a bank now for a savings or a checking or a money market, they don't have enough zeros they can put up there for your interest rate. So where it does affect the bank very positively is on the deposit rates, because you can attract borrowers, you're paying a little bit more interest. So where it may offset the mortgage side, depending on the type of mortgage business you're doing, it may affect the deposit side, the banker side, really well.
And the investment part of that, you're probably better investing in Cubs memorabilia.
Exactly. Get that ball down off of the scoreboard.
Right. But it brings up a good point, and that is this up and down that we've seen in the bond market. I mean, mm-hmm. There was that wild downward trend. It seems to be coming back a little bit. How is that working? Is that a place that you would counsel people and businesses to be in, or no?
Well, as far as investing in the bond market, that's where I think your uncertainty comes in. You know, right now, the 10-year treasury, it was at, I think, 1.7. It's a little above 2 right now. I remember years ago, it was way below 1, and that's when your rates were down in the 2s and the 3s. It's one of those things, if you have the guts to gamble, wouldn't be a bad place to go. I didn't say it. I'm not giving you investment advice, but it's one of those things you never know. He could come out and say something today. Janet Yellen could say something tomorrow and flip it just the other way.
Yeah. The idea, too, that this is Trump-fueled, I love the way it's been written, is it's Trump-fueled, election-fueled. Hasn't the previous administration sort of teed this up for the next guy, or no?
You know, they have, and there's kind of two categories a lot of people forget about. The millennials, which we talked about last time, but you also have those boomerang buyers. Now, the boomerang buyers, 9 years ago, when the market kind of went down the tubes, a lot of people went into foreclosure. They have that 7-year time frame to build their credit back. Well, guess what's coming? That 7-year time frame is up. So you're looking at a lot of the boomerang buyers, which are going to be very cautious just because what they went through, rebuild their credit. But you have an entire group of boomerang buyers that are ready to buy, and a lot of millennials that are ready to buy. So that's not really Trump-fueled. That happened that happened 9 years ago.
And where it does become Trump-fueled, I think, is this boomerang notion that you bring up is one that combined with the possibility of repeal of Dodd-Frank or cut back on Dodd-Frank and cut back on some of these regulations. But a lot of people are saying, whoa, let's not go that far because we could get ourselves into trouble again. Is that possible?
I wouldn't say to backpedal as quick as they rolled it out. I mean, if you look at the CFPB, which I'm a big fan of as a banker, but
the
not
consumer
so much.
Product.
They're so tight. I mean, it's gone from one extreme to the other. I can't tell you how many clients, unless you prep your clients right and say, here's the deal. It's not your grandmother's mortgage. You're going to give me something, and I'm going to ask you for it again in 2 weeks. It's going to take 60 days for a refinance. It's going to take you 45 days for a purchase or a construction loan. They put the screws down so tight, it really is having a negative effect. I tell my clients it's like the kid at recess. He misbehaves at lunch, everyone has to stay in. You had a couple of outlying banks, mortgage companies that really took advantage of clients, and everyone's paying for it. It's in the customer's best interest, but you really can't walk into a bank December 1st and say, I want to close December 30th anymore because there's so many regulations and disclosures, again, which there should be, but I think they could peel back a little bit of it.
So, John, what's on your Christmas list? You have anybody naughty and nice? What do you get?
Absolutely nice. I mean, you know, really, you just want to see people do the right thing.
And that's John Horton. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next month. It'll be the new year when we talk to John again from Associated Bank. John is the vice president and senior lending manager at Associated Bank. Remember, you can listen to more of our conversation. We'll continue talking after the bell and post it in our podcast at WGNradio.com. And you can also follow Associated Bank Biz on Twitter at Associated Biz. And we'll have another thought leader conversation for you next week.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:39, and have you finished your holiday shopping yet? Have you done some cyber shopping this week as well? How much did social media impact what you did? Believe it or not, on the I'm going to make sure I get these facts correct here. On Cyber Monday, the number of social media mentions was 532,000 in just a 24-hour period. In the 7 days leading up to Cyber Monday, there were more than 334,000 mentions of just holiday shopping in social media. So you can see Cyber Monday had a big impact on social media, or vice versa. Let's bring in an expert on this to talk a little bit more about this. His name is Todd Grossman. He's the CEO of TalkWalker, and he monitors all things social media. Good morning, Todd. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. That is just an astronomical number in 24 hours. Social media, 534,000, 532,000. How many of those were from Kim Kardashian?
Oh, my gosh. Kim Kardashian, she's long owned social media, and Cyber Monday was no exception, with the top social media post in the 24 period being an Instagram photo from actually Kylie Jenner for her Kylie cosmetic brand, generating more than 210,000 likes and 3,300 comments, reaching nearly 10 million people. That's some influencer power.
It is. And so are most of the mentions that we're talking about, are they for a specific brand or product and by a certain person, or are they just all over the board?
It's really all over the board. We're seeing product mentions, but itself, in terms of Cyber Monday, the number one brand that was trending, not surprisingly, was Amazon. And then it was followed by Walmart. And then the types of products that were really, again, on Santa's list were the electronics, including the GameStop brand, LG Corp, Microsoft, of course, iPhone, Apple, Best Buy, Google, Samsung, Android, all making the top 10 during Cyber Monday.
Yeah, was that, I'm thinking of the Hatchables, were they on there as well?
Yeah, so Hatchables are really big. I saw this trending 2 months ago with our trend discovery platform, and I was able to grab two months ago, so I'm very pleased that happened for my two boys.
Right, because you can see those trends coming, right?
Absolutely. We also see the Fitbit, the wireless speakers, the headsets, Pine Face is another game that's trending out there. Razor scooters and, of course, drones.
Do you have any sense of whether or not all of these mentions are leading to purchases? One would assume that some of them have to be, but how do you even figure that out?
So we don't measure the sales component of things, but what we can do is we can take sales data and put it against our social data, and we call this custom indicators and business impact metrics. So there is a way to actually see if there are direct correlations in terms of looking at the traffic from social media to ultimately sales in terms of what every company wants to do at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way to tell, Todd, from the Cyber Monday versus just holiday shopping, I'm guessing Black Friday, if you had to put the two together, the numbers are way different. Is it fair to say that one of those is going to beat the other at some point in the future? One will be more popular, and maybe one might go away, like Black Friday might just disappear?
Well, I think it is possible. What we're saying is that Black Friday, it's really merging prior to that Friday now. We're seeing deals coming out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's going into the weekends with the special codes that are being offered. But Cyber Monday is really picking up, and then there's Tuesday Giving, which is starting, which happened this week as well.
Yeah, in Cyber Monday, actually, you know, there were, I think it was Amazon, maybe it was Best Buy, too. They were offering their Cyber Monday deals, or at least showing you what they were going to be on that Black Friday. So it's all sort of mixing in the days. We may have to take the days away and just call it Cyber Week.
I think we may be getting to that.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is some really interesting traffic just with Christmas being mentioned, the period last year from November 1st to December 25th. There were about less than a million mentions in social media already from November 1st to today. There's been more than 22.5 million. So there's been an enormous increase in the amount of social media posts year over year.
Let's change gears here for just a little bit, because I'm interested in your impressions of the election. I've been seeing stories now almost daily about how Donald Trump's social media use may have had a big impact on his being elected. How big was social media during this election season? Do you have a sense of that?
I have a huge sense of that. We had a U.S. election dashboard that was offered to the public, and what we saw was that Trump had a huge megaphone. He did it with hardly any spend that he had to do, and he was authentic. And what we also saw is that Hillary Clinton had a lot of influencers out there, but there was more engagement with regards to the Donald Trump activity there. And it really makes us need to pay more attention to social media and listening, particularly when Donald Trump was posting all those things out there. Many people may not have agreed with everything, but boy, there was a lot of conversation, and then the general media were picking it up and putting it right on screen on television. So it was definitely a social media campaign and election time.
Yeah, and people are starting to wonder if it's going to be a social media White House as well. I thought one interesting statistic from all of this was President-elect Obama, his first time being elected to the White House, he tweeted once as president-elect compared to Donald Trump, who's just going crazy. But the question is it going to be a social media White House? Because Donald Trump seems to keep tweeting and reporters keep picking it up.
Yes, it's not going away. He already did his first 100-day video out there, and after he meets with his potential cabinet post candidates, he's basically tweeting whether he's very impressed with them or not, and it's going to continue. And one thing what Obama did, he really started it in the fact, not with the tweeting or using social media, but he used the internet to gain campaign contributions. So he was the first that really did that and excelled.
Todd, what's the danger here in terms of people just paying complete attention to social media, not getting their news from a news organization, and sort of taking what a candidate says or what a politician says and checking it and double-checking it? I mean, they're kind of getting sort of one side of the story, aren't they?
Yeah, it's very... one has to be very careful, and they may not know what they can believe now with fake news out there, conspiracy theories in terms of foreign countries pumping news out there, things on Facebook. And what people have to do is they have to be well-informed as they possibly can and be balanced by reading as much as they possibly can, listening and watching as well, so they can come to their own conclusions and talking it out with their peers.
Todd Grossman is the CEO of TalkWalker. You can find more at TalkWalker.com. And Todd, I hope we can have you on again. It was a great conversation this morning.
It'd be my pleasure, Steve. All right. A great day.
Thank you. It's 5:47. This is The Opening Bell.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The Dow futures now pointing in the green, just a point, though, higher than they were the last time we talked to you. NASDAQ and S&P futures are still negative. Crude oil trading higher as well. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. And good morning, Ori and Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look back at yesterday, a day that the livestock futures moved higher at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and grain futures moved lower at the Chicago Board of Trade. December wheat dropping 4 cents a bushel to 380.5. December corn finally ended the day unchanged at 379.75. January soybeans were down 10.25 cents, 10.32 1/4. So let's look at the good news. The livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, December lean hogs gained 65 cents a hundredweight, closing at $51. December live cattle up $1.80 yesterday at $110.75. January feeder cattle up $1.25 yesterday at $128.42 a hundredweight. The report from the USDA today, no surprise to food producers across the country. Net farm income expected to drop for a third consecutive year in this year of 2016, dropping 17% to $66.9 billion, due mainly to the weak returns for livestock, dairy, and poultry farms. The weakening farm economy, of course, triggered cost-cutting and job reductions at major farm input providers like seed and chemicals company Monsanto and equipment maker Deere and Company, and Tyson Foods, the biggest meat processor in the country, saw its profits drop as well. We all knew that agriculture still has challenges. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. A couple of final notes for you here on The Opening Bell for this Thursday. Spotify, apparently Drake was one of the top artist there. He is the most streamed act on the platform. 4.7 billion streams Spotify has announced late yesterday as it puts out its year's top songs. If you're wondering how many views, that's about 2.4 billion views. Some other big songs on there are Rihanna, Anti, also Blurry Face, One Pilots, The Weeknd's Beauty Behind the Madness, and of course Justin Bieber on there as well. Also today, the slow recovery of the U.S. economy is contributing to the cost of Christmas spiraling out of control. Pittsburgh-based PNC Financial Group has tracked the cost of gifts mentioned in the 12 days of Christmas for the last 33 years as a way to keep a whimsical eye on inflation. The cost of two turtle doves jumped from $290 to $375 this year, but nine of the other 12 gifts listed in the carol stayed the same price or became a little cheaper. 11 pipers piping and 12 drummers drumming, also slightly more expensive this year. PNC says the cost of this year's gifts increased $233 to $34,363, up almost 0.7% from last year if you're thinking about buying all of the 12 days gifts. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Thursday, December 1st, 2016. A couple of major business reports, economic reports. The two big ones include the Labor Department reporting on the number of people applying for unemployment benefits last week. The Commerce Department will reveal construction spending for October. Also today, the U.S. Census Bureau scheduled to publish monthly motor vehicle sales for November. The Institute for Supply Management in the U.S. releases its index of activity of manufacturing firms. Also today is World AIDS Day. It's organized by UNAIDS, the main advocate for accelerated, comprehensive, and coordinated global action on HIV/AIDS, the mission to lead, strengthen, support, and educate on HIV and AIDS. Also today, the European Parliament Inquiry Committee on Emissions Measurements is set to meet in Brussels. It was set up in December of 2015 to investigate in detail alleged contraventions and also cheating, I guess, is a better way to say it, emissions measurements in the automotive sector. Other companies like Volkswagen and Audi caught up in some of that. That meeting begins today. Those are just some of the items on our Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, December 1st. We will be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. I hope you can join us then. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning on The Steve Cochran Show, which is coming up next.